So what are you doing up there all day?
I watch Netflix mostly. And Masterpiece Theater. I can't get enough Victoria. But it does get pretty lonely, actually. I was about to watch a movie when I got your call. Have you seen the old classic Chariots of Fire?
Yes, that 1981 historical drama that tells the story of two athletes in the 1924 Olympics. Dun, 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 dun,
dun, dun. Yeah, that's a good one, too. No, Jonathan, that's good. Oh. I was actually thinking of the ancient Near Eastern historical drama that tells the story of Elijah and Elisha, two prophet pals in the 9th century B.C. The video I have is actually a modern retelling of it. It's set in an academic environment. Do you want to watch it with me? I think I can beam it down to you.
Sure, yeah. Let me just read the book first, though. I like to read the book before I see movies.
Sure, okay. Go ahead.
All right. Okay. 2 Kings 2. When the Lord was about to take Elijah up to heaven in a whirlwind, Elijah and Elisha were on their way from Gilgal. Elijah said to Elisha, "Stay here. The Lord has sent me to Bethel." But Elisha said, "As surely as the Lord lives and as you live, I will not leave you." So they went down to Bethel. The company of the prophets at Bethel came out to Elisha and said, "Do you know that the Lord's going to take your master from you today?" "Yes, I know," Elisha replied, "but do not speak of it." Then Elijah said to him, "Stay here, Elisha. The Lord has sent me on to Jericho." And he replied, "As surely as the Lord lives and as you live, I will not leave you." So they went to Jericho. The company of the prophets at Jericho went up to Elisha and asked him, "Do you know that the Lord's going to take your master from you today?" "Yes, I know," he replied, "but do not speak of it." Then Elijah said to him, "Stay here. The Lord has sent me over the Jordan." And he replied, "As surely as the Lord lives and as you live, I will not leave you." So the two of them walked on. 50 of the company of the prophets went and stood at a distance, facing the place where Elijah and Elisha had stopped at the Jordan. Elijah took his cloak, rolled it up, and struck the water with it. The water divided to the right and to the left, and the two of them crossed over on dry ground. When they had crossed, Elijah said to Elisha, "Tell me, what can I do for you before I'm taken from you?" "Let me inherit a double portion of your spirit," Elisha replied. "You've asked a difficult thing," Elijah said. "Yet if you see me when I am taken from you, it will be yours. Otherwise, not." As they were walking along and talking together, suddenly a chariot of fire and horses of fire appeared and separated the two of them, and Elijah went up to heaven in a whirlwind. Elisha saw this and cried out, my father, the chariots and horsemen of Israel." And Elisha saw him no more. Then he took hold of his own clothes and tore them apart. He picked up the cloak that had fallen from Elijah and went back and stood on the bank of the Jordan. Then he took the cloak that had fallen from him and struck the water with it. "Where now is the Lord, the God of Elijah?" he asked. When Elisha struck the water, it divided to the right and to the left, and he crossed over.
We celebrate today the discovery of an ancient manuscript, an ancient scroll. It's a copy. It was written, it's in English, before the time English was invented. It is a copy of the Chaim Academia translation. And I use the term translation a little bit loosely. Now, in the 8th year of Dr. I Know-It-All, president of the Global Anabaptist University, Dr. Eleanor was elevated to full professor. first incumbent of the Millard M. Lynn Chair of Prophetic Studies. For more than 20 years, she teaches, lectures, and publishes, mentoring generations of graduate students. Recently, one of her former students, Assistant Professor Eliana, has become her close companion and confidant.
It is with a mixture of joy and sadness that I welcome you to this evening's presentation by Professor Dr. Eleanor, the final lecture scheduled before her compulsory retirement. Our beloved Dr. Eleanor is well known to all of us and scarcely needs an introduction. How could we forget the many years of scholarship and miraculous service? Remember when she fled from those who wanted to get rid of the humanities and was sustained by the establishment of an endowed chair? That was awesome. Remember when the single mother who was her student had no memory left on her laptop and couldn't afford an upgrade, and Eleanor provided her with a chip of unlimited RAM? That was awesome. And remember when Professor Eleanor fled to Mount Wawasee and opposed the prophets of Baal who wanted to suspend all sabbaticals, and there was a great wind and an earthquake and a fire, but God wasn't in any of that. And afterwards, a sound of sheer silence that said, "Let there be sabbaticals." And that was so awesome. And now, without further ado, I present Professor Dr. Eleanor.
Thank you for that incredible and humbling and remarkably accurate introduction, Dr. Assistant Professor Eliana. Dean Flibbertigibbet, eminent colleagues, accomplished graduate students, and worthy guests. This, that, and the other thing. And don't forget what I've said many, many times before. So in closing, I just reiterate, if you have something to say, then say it. And if not, well, then not. Thank you.
Assistant Professor Eliana, Dean Flibbertigibbet is sending me to Oxford University to attend a conference. You stay here.
I'll be double golly gosh darn if I leave your side for even one itty-bitty instant.
Do you know that Dean Flibbertigibbet will soon take Professor Eleanor, Dr. Eleanor,
away from you? I don't know that. You should just keep quiet. Mind your own beeswax. Assistant Professor Eliana, you stay right here. Dean Flibbertigibbet is sending me to a conference at Eastern Mennonite University, a consultation on right sizing.
I'll be double golly gosh darned if I leave your side for you. Instant.
Do you know that Dean Flibbertigibbet is about to take Professor Dr. Eleanor away from you?
I know that. You should remain silent and keep your pie holes firmly shut. Assistant Professor Eliana, you stay right here. I am going to go. The Dean Flibbertigibbet is sending me to the River St. Joe.
I'll be double golly gosh darned if I leave your side for even one itty-bitty instant.
Now, tell me what I may do for you before I go into retiree land.
Please, Dr. Eleanor, let me inherit a double share of your spirit of wisdom and knowledge, of discernment and insight.
Oh, you have asked a difficult thing. However, if you see me being taken into retiree land, then you shall have it. If not, then you will not.
Professor, Professor, the scholars of Retiree Land and their rockets. Where is Yahweh, the God of Eleanor?
Three cheers for Professor Eliana, the new Millard M. Lind Chair of Prophetic Studies.
Wow,
that was something. I mean, yep. I knew the academic life was important and all, but I guess I never realized the stakes were quite that high. I mean, Dr. Eliana was hanging on to Dr. Elidor's coattails for dear life. I mean, I have to admit, I haven't thought about the story behind that story for a long time. I mean, one thing I've never really understood about Elijah is the abrupt way that he left. I mean, here was a prophet who'd never been afraid to engage with the world, even calling out some of the most despicable rulers of his time, Ahab and Jezebel. He even went up alone against 450 prophets of Baal, and won. Then he just sneaks off into the desert and catches the next flaming chariot to heaven. I mean, he didn't even really go out of his way to make sure that his close friend and protege Elisha was going to be all right without him.
Yeah, but I still don't think he was escaping. I mean, sure, there were times in his career that he wanted to escape. After that triumph against the prophets of Baal, he had to flee to the desert, and there was a time out there when he was ready to curl up and die. But I think by this point, he knew Elisha would pick up the torch and carry on. It's about succession, passing on the legacy to the next generation. Not that there's anything wrong with a little escapism. I mean, Carmen told us just last week how many times Jesus escaped to get away from the crowds. And he would go to a quiet place. And we Christians have a rich history of escapist theology. Well, that Angel Band song you sang just a little bit ago, that's a nice example. What's wrong with getting a little comfort from the idea of leaving the trials of this fallen world behind for the promises of our eternal heavenly home?
Well, I admit it makes for some nice hymns. But when we look at how else Jesus spent his time and how he seemed to see the coming kingdom, we realize that he doesn't see the world in the same split way that we have a tendency to. To be sure, Jesus was quick to condemn injustice and hypocrisy, but he also seemed confident that the world around him was already full of the glory of God. In fact, that the kingdom was all around us. And even today, I think Jesus calls us to look closer, to see God at work even, maybe especially, when the world seems most broken.
Are you saying I should come back to Earth and live with all you all in the mess down here?
In a word, yes. Actually, we were just about to share some of the joyful messes from our lives. Encourage each other, pray together. I think that'd show you what I'm talking about better than me trying to describe it with another paragraph. Why don't you listen in?
Okay.